Well, we're now going to have our reading. I've got four readers, and we're going to be reading the Palm Sunday story, and Patricia's going to be the narrator. Chris is going to be a Yorkshire version of Jesus, and someone else is going to be, oh yes, Christine's going to be the crowd. If you go to one of these mics behind, that would be great. Christine's going to be the crowd, got a small part. I've got an even smaller part, which is the Pharisees. So I thought I'd make a good Pharisee today.
After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethpage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them,
"Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it, say, 'The Lord needs it.'"
Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them,
"Why are you untying the colt?"
They replied, "The Lord needs it." They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen.
"Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest."
Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus,
"Teacher, rebuke your disciples."
"I tell you, if you keep quiet, the stones will cry out."
As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said,
"If you, even you, had only known on this day what will bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you."
When Jesus entered the temple courts, he began to drive out those who were selling.
"It is written, 'My house will be a house of prayer,' but you have made it a den of robbers."
Every day he was teaching at the temple, but the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and leaders among the people were trying to kill him, yet they could not find any way to do it because all the people hung on his words.
Wonderful, thank you. Thank you so much for that reading. I was thinking in preparation for this morning that I might preach on the journey of the Israelites in the wilderness, where they move from one place to another. And I thought that could be quite appropriate as this is our last Sunday here, and the Lord is leading us on to Spittle Hill and who knows where else. And but I thought, no, it's Palm Sunday. We will focus on this tremendous story in this preparation leading up to Easter week, the beginning of Easter week. So let's just pray, shall we? Father God, Lord, we are reminded as we think of the children of Israel in the wilderness, Lord, how they only moved when your spirit, when the cloud, your presence moved on. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, we would know your presence moving on with us as we vacate this building and go into Spittle Hill. Lord, we pray your presence. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, we thank you for the story of Easter. Lord, would you speak to us through your word today, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So today is Palm Sunday, and I want to jump ahead, if you like, in my series in Luke, to the Palm Sunday story in Luke 19. And the Palm Sunday story is all about Jesus coming into his holy city of Jerusalem. And, you know, I want to really ask the question, though, why is Palm Sunday important? How is it relevant to us in 2022? What is it all about? Why is Jesus riding into Jerusalem on a donkey? Why are people putting palm branches and cloaks down for the donkey to walk on? Why are all the people shouting and celebrating? Why are the religious people upset at the same time as others are celebrating? Why does Jesus cry over Jerusalem and prophesy its destruction? Why does he turn over the tables, the market tables in the temple? And why were the religious people and leaders plotting to kill Jesus? And how is all of that relevant to us in 2022? Well, the first thing I want to say is that Jesus came with a plan and a purpose. Jesus always has a plan and a purpose. No event in the whole life and ministry of Jesus is just a coincidence. You know, Jesus is never the victim of circumstances. He's never influenced by the crowd. He's never influenced by peer group pressure. That is something, isn't it? There was nothing accidental about the events of Palm Sunday. It took place during the Passover festival in Jerusalem. The city would have been packed with pilgrims from all nations. Every Jew who could travel went to Jerusalem for the Passover celebrations. It was like carnival time, party time in the city of Jerusalem. And everyone in the crowd knew the significance of what Jesus was doing on that Palm Sunday. He was claiming to be the Messiah. He was claiming to be the king riding into God's holy city of Jerusalem. Jesus was purposefully fulfilling the Old Testament prophecy as he entered Jerusalem, and everyone, all of the Jews, would have known it at that time. Why did Jesus ride into Jerusalem on a donkey? He just walked all the way from Galilee. He hadn't come on a donkey from Galilee. He walked all the way from Galilee, and then for the last mile, he decides to get on a donkey that has never been ridden before. Didn't make any sense. Didn't make any sense at all. He didn't need to ride on a donkey. It was part of Jesus' deliberate plan and purpose. Jesus was claiming to be the Messiah. He was claiming to be the Son of God. He was intentionally fulfilling the Old Testament prophecy found in Zechariah 9, verse 9, which says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion." Zion is another word for Jerusalem. "Shout, daughter of Jerusalem, see your king comes to you, riding and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on the colt, the foal of a donkey." And that was exactly what Jesus did on that day. The animal Jesus rode into Jerusalem was a colt, the foal of a donkey, an animal that had never been ridden before. Jesus was proclaiming that he was the Messiah. He was the people's king coming to Jerusalem. Why does the story tell us that Jesus approached Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives? Because that was the route, the same route that Jesus' ancestor, the great King David, took when he came to reclaim his city. It was the route the Messiah, the Son of God, was expected to take when he returned to Jerusalem. He was to come from the Mount of Olives and approach Jerusalem, the holy city, from the Mount of Olives, as the great King David had done. And so Jesus was entering Jerusalem as a triumphal king, proclaiming his victory over all of Israel's enemies. In the Old Testament, in Ezekiel 43, verse 1, Ezekiel had prophesied that God's glory would re-enter Jerusalem through the Mount of Olives. And here we have Jesus, God's glory, re-entering Jerusalem through the Mount of Olives. Here was Jesus, the Son of God, the one and only Son of God, the Messiah, bringing God's presence back into the holy city, back into the temple, back into God's dwelling place. So what does that all of that mean for us in 2022? No, that happened 2,000 years ago. But it tells us Jesus always has a plan and a purpose. Nothing is accidental. Nothing can be put down to fate or luck. That means that Jesus has a plan and a purpose for your life and for my life. You are not an accident. You are not a freak. You are not a victim of fate or blessed by good luck. None of those things apply. It means that you can totally rely on the promises of God, for they will be fulfilled. It is sure and certain. Hold on to the promises of God. They will be fulfilled. They are totally guaranteed. It means that what the Bible, God's word, prophesies will happen. Not might happen, will happen. Just as Jesus came into Jerusalem in fulfillment of prophecy long ago, so most certainly Jesus will come again to judge the living and the dead, to create a new heaven and a new earth where his disciples will live and rule and reign eternally. Amen? Amen. That is the future. The future is not Russia destroying Ukraine and going on to destroy Europe and a big third world war. The future is that Jesus will come again. He will judge the living and the dead. He will create a new heaven and a new earth where his disciples, his followers, will live and rule and reign eternally. Praise God. And I want to ask you, have you discovered Jesus' plan and purpose for your life? Have you discovered Jesus' plan and purpose for your life? Are you relying on the promises of God, or are you relying on your education? Now, getting more degrees. Those of you who are facing GCSEs and everything else, it's the all importance. We must spend every hour that God's made to get through this next exam, this next batch of exams, then you can go on to the next lot of exams. Isn't that exciting? And then when you've fulfilled those exams, you can go on to the next lot of exams. And then some become perpetual students. And so, you know, and then, so when you've got your degree, you go on to do a master's degree and then a doctorate degree. And then you perhaps decide, well, actually, I'd like to do nursing instead or something like that. So you do that qualification, you do that qualification. You know, we can chase after these things, you know, but are we relying on the promises of God? Or are you relying on money? You know, it doesn't matter how much you've got, you always want more. Or are you relying on your job and your job security or your family or your friends? Or are you relying on the promises of God? Michael was challenging us last Sunday. Wasn't it tremendous? The three messages we heard last Sunday from Eugene, from Bethany, from Michael, and how God brought those together and really challenged us. I was challenged. Do I really love the Lord my God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength, with all my mind? How committed am I as a Christian? How much am I living in the light of the fact that Jesus is going to come back, is going to return? And Michael was challenging us, wasn't he, to live in the light of the return of Jesus Christ, because God has prophesied it. Jesus will surely come again. Because he always has a plan and purpose. The question is, will you, will I be ready for him? That's the challenge. Secondly, from this Palm Sunday story, we see that Jesus came as the king. As Jesus came into Jerusalem, he was proclaiming himself to be the king, the Messiah, the Son of God, the King of the Jews, riding into Jerusalem to claim the city for God. The crowd knew the significance of what Jesus was doing. They knew that he was proclaiming himself to be their king, to be their Messiah. And that's why the crowd threw cloaks over the donkey for Jesus to sit on. Because a king deserves honor. He deserves worship. He deserves praise. He deserves obedience. And that's why they spread their cloaks and the palm branches on the road for the colt to walk on. It was a royal procession. And it's just in the same way we do it today, don't we? Wherever the queen goes, she has to walk on a red carpet. I wonder sometimes whether she gets a bit fed up with red. No, she probably wishes there was another colour that she could walk on. But, you know, wherever the queen, our Queen of England, goes, a red carpet gets rolled out so that she doesn't walk on a dirty pavement. You know, and for weeks before, when they know she's coming, they paint all the railings. And, you know, the royal family never see this country as it really is, because everything's smartened up for them. And, you know, it's just the same as the king comes into Jerusalem. So in honor, they lay down their cloaks. They put down palm branches for the donkey to walk on. They put the cloaks over the donkey because this is the King of Kings coming into his holy city, Jerusalem. This is why the crowd were praising God in loud voices, praising Jesus for all the miracles they'd seen him do. That's why they shout, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." No, this wasn't a nice, quiet, reverential English service. Oh, we're terribly nice. Terribly polite. You know, they were really praising and worshipping. They were going for it. Glory to God in the highest. Praise God, our King, our victorious King Jesus is coming to claim his holy city. He is the Messiah. They are proclaiming Jesus is blessed. They are proclaiming that Jesus is King, that he's coming in the name of the Lord. He's coming as God's almighty representative. All the power and authority of the Lord God Almighty was upon him. Jesus is triumphant. He is the almighty King. Amen? And we should be celebrating that. It's so important that. And you know, what's interesting is that the religious Pharisees knew that Jesus was proclaiming himself. They knew exactly what was going on. They knew that Jesus was proclaiming himself as the Messiah and the King. And some of them were offended. Who does Jesus think he is? He's whipping up the crowd in a frenzy. He seems to be enjoying the worship and the adulation. Why doesn't he rebuke the people and stop them praising Jesus? For he's just an ordinary man. You see, they had decided to reject Jesus as the Messiah, the Son of God. And they were offended by those who were celebrating him as the one they didn't believe in. And Jesus says those famous words, "If they keep quiet, the stones will cry out in worship and praise and adoration of Jesus the King, the Son of God." Don't let's keep quiet. If you truly believe Jesus is the King, if you truly believe Jesus is the Son of God, we've got something to shout about. You know, we're not in defeat. We may be in the minority in this country, but we're not in defeat, because Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And there's someone coming down here to worship him. Praise God. He is the King of Kings and he is the Lord of Lords. Let's worship. Let's shout out our praise, our worship, our honor of Jesus. And to challenge, the challenge to us this Palm Sunday 2022, is that Jesus is still King. He is the victorious, risen, ascended Son of God, the Messiah. That is who Jesus is. That is what Jesus has done for us. He is still the King. He is still the victorious, risen, ascended Son of God, the Messiah. The question is how will we respond to Jesus, the King, today? Will we come up front like that little one just has and acknowledge that Jesus is the King, that Jesus is the Lord, that he is risen, that he is the Son of God, that he is the Messiah? Will we be with the crowd on Palm Sunday, worshiping, praising, and adoring Jesus the King, laying down our lives, laying down our possessions, laying down our time in worship and praise to Jesus? Or will we reject the King? Will we criticize and mock those who worship Jesus? Will we welcome, or will we reject and push away Jesus from us this Palm Sunday? Because it's so easy to be on the other side, isn't it? Do you come into church sometimes and you look at some of these mad lunatics who come to Rock Christian Center and stick their hands in the air and start jigging around and maybe even shout out and get excited about Jesus? And are you looking at them a bit cynically and saying, what are they on? You know, don't become like them. I don't know what this Jesus thing is all about. Well, let's just be careful that you don't reject Jesus. Yeah, you can reject his followers, but don't reject Jesus. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. And then thirdly, Jesus came to bring God's peace. The crowds shout, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And when the crowd shout peace in heaven, they don't really realize necessarily that they are shouting prophetically. Because that is exactly what Jesus is coming into Jerusalem to achieve. It is the beginning of Easter week. He's coming to die upon the cross to bring peace between God the Father in heaven and sinners here on earth. Jesus' mission in coming to Jerusalem is his mission to save people from their sins, which was prophesied right at his birth. Remember, you will give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. So he's fulfilling that. So Jesus' mission is to save people from their sins. And that is at the very heart of Palm Sunday. Jesus came to offer us a peace treaty between us and God, between you and God, and me and God. The Bible teaches us that we are by nature enemies of God. We are by nature objects of God's wrath. Isaiah 59 tells us that our sin separates us from God. How many of us have sinned this week? The rest of you are lying, so you may as well put your hand up because you've just been sinning then. The Bible says our sin, my sin, separates me from God. I need something that will bring me, a sinner, together with God so that I can know his forgiveness for that sin. Our sin separates us from God and condemns us to death, condemns us to God's judgment, condemns us to an eternity in hell. But praise God, when Jesus died on the cross, the Son of God died on the cross, Jesus as our substitute, as your substitute, died in your place, died in my place, to pay the price and the punishment for your sin, for my sin, praise God, by dying on the cross. And when Jesus died on the cross, and when he rose again victorious over sin, death, and hell, Jesus signed a peace treaty between the Lord God Almighty and you as a sinner and me as a sinner, praise God. That is something to get excited about. That is something to shout. Blessed is the name of the one who has come in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the one who has come in the name of the Lord. Praise be to God. Because of that peace treaty, we can know and experience peace with God through his blood shed on the cross. And because Jesus rose victorious over sin and death and hell, we can share eternal life. We can share his resurrection victory. We can share eternal life with him in heaven. That is the amazing grace that we sometimes sing about. That's the amazing love and mercy that we sing about. That's why we say the cross has the final words. Because the cross does have the final word. It's only through the cross that we can know forgiveness, that we can know new life with Jesus Christ. Glory to God in the highest that Jesus signed a peace treaty between God and mankind. But the big question this Palm Sunday is your name written on that peace treaty between God and man? Is your name, is my name written there? Your name won't be written there because you come to Rock Christian Center. You come to Rock Christian Center as much as you like. You can jump up and down, you put your hand in the air. But does not write your name on the peace treaty between God and man. Your name won't be there because you're a good person. Thank goodness for that, because probably most of us aren't. But for those of you who feel you are a good person, it won't be there because you're a good person. It won't even be there because you try not to sin too much. Notice the emphasis on the sin too much. No, you're only a little sinner compared to a big sinner. Your name will only be on that peace treaty if you have repented of your sin, if you've believed in Jesus Christ, and you've been born again by the Holy Spirit. Praise God. It is the most wonderful thing to know that your name is written in the blood of Jesus on the peace treaty between the holy Lord God Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and sinners such as you and me. Praise God. Praise God. Wonderful. Fourthly, got to rattle through these, haven't I? Fourthly, Jesus came to bring purity. The story of Jesus turning over the tables in the temple tells us that Jesus not only came to bring a peace treaty, he came to cleanse his temple. He came to purify his people. Jesus was putting right what was wrong in the temple. Jesus was confronting what was wrong about religion and religious people and teaching a new way of purity and holiness. You know, Jesus never wants us to be saved and stay as we are. Did you realize that? He didn't save you so that you could stay as you are. Jesus came to transform our lives, to bring change, to clean us up, to cleanse us from our old sin and sinful habits. Change and transformation, getting rid of sin, cleansing, purity is never easy. It doesn't come naturally, does it? Sin comes naturally. It's far easier to sin, but you know, it's always far better to get rid of sin than staying as we are and staying sinful. If we don't get rid of the sin and impurity in our lives, Jesus' anger will be provoked. It's what the Bible tells us. You know, he may forcibly turn over the tables in our lives. And that's not comfortable, folks. He will bring disruption into our lives. He will bring discomfort into our lives. He may even bring disaster into our lives in order to change us to be the people he calls us to be. Because Jesus never saves us and leaves us as we are. So if you're experiencing great discomfort at this present time, if you maybe you're even experiencing difficulty, even disaster in your life, what is God saying to you? Are there areas in your life that he wants to put his finger on that need to be repented of and brought to him and there to be real change? You know, it's far better to humble ourselves, to be repentant, to be soft clay in the potter's hand than to have Jesus turning over the tables in our lives. We are the temples now of the Holy Spirit. When we're born again, Jesus is coming to his temple just as Jesus went into the temple on that Palm Sunday. He demands purity. He demands holiness in our lives. And then finally, Jesus came to bring judgment. Let me just read verses 41 and through to 44. As Jesus approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, "If you, even you, had only known in this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you." So the city of Jerusalem, the religious leaders of God's temple, rejected God himself when he came to his own city. When he came to his own temple, therefore the city and the temple would face God's judgment and terrible destruction. Jesus came to bring salvation, but he also came to bring judgment. We like one, we're not so keen on the other, are we? Those who were religious, who opposed Jesus, would face judgment. This is what Jesus is saying. It is a promise of Jesus. We believe the promises of Jesus. We have to believe the negative as well as the positive. Those who rejected Jesus would face judgment. Those who were apathetic, those who were critical, those who were cynical would face God's judgment and condemnation. And you know, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He offers each one of us salvation, praise God. Whatever past you may have had, he offers you salvation. Isn't that wonderful? It doesn't matter how big a sinner you might be, Jesus today offers you salvation. It doesn't matter how much of a mess you've made of life, how much you may have been abused by others, Jesus offers you salvation and a new start. Praise God. That is the message of Palm Sunday. But if we reject and ignore Jesus and his salvation, we will face the full consequence of our sin, which is judgment, death, and hell. It's the promises of Jesus. And so this Palm Sunday, will you welcome him into your lives this Easter time and receive full and free forgiveness, full and free salvation, full and free new life in Jesus? May our names be written on that peace treaty that Jesus won for us when he died and rose again. So Jesus came with a plan and purpose. He came as the King. He came to bring us peace. He came to bring us purity. He came to bring judgment. Let's pray. As we pray, I'm going to ask Leslie and the team to come forward. They're going to lead us in our final song. Father God, Lord, we thank you for Easter. Lord, we thank you for the events of Easter week. Lord, we thank you for your triumphal entry as the King comes into his city, as the King comes into Jerusalem, as the King comes to his temple. Lord, we remember the terrible events of Bad Friday when Jesus died on the cross. But Lord, we thank and we praise you, Lord, from the depths of our hearts, that Lord, you did not stay dead. But Lord, you were risen victorious over death and hell, over sin itself. And Lord, we thank you that you turned Bad Friday, the worst Friday, into Good Friday. Lord, help each one of us this Easter time to reflect on the cross, to reflect on the resurrection, to reflect on your entry into Jerusalem. And Lord, as the crowd welcomed Jesus into their city, may we welcome Jesus into our lives this Easter time, Lord. Lord, would we know what it is to have full forgiveness. Lord, full newness of life. Lord, may we know what it is to have eternal life in Jesus. Lord, may we know what it is for our names, our personal names, be written by the blood of Jesus Christ on the peace treaty between the Holy Almighty God and us as sinners. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.